You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 19 July. Today in 2007, Mad Men aired for the first time. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Alex Dace from Thimble Wolf. Production reports, Anglo-American Kumba, Anglo-American Platinum. What stands out from him from that troika? Merrill Pick from Old Mutual Investment Group, talking on two of the megatrends, AI and inflation, but how can we invest in those on the JSE? And thoughts from me on understanding bonds. Bond pricing in particular, price up, yield down, because we're going to start seeing some of those yields down, which means some price up. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Ramaphosa announces massive infrastructure investment plan, signals faster reform to boost growth. With respect, we've heard that before. It's about the doing, not the saying. Morning markets, US markets were red, S&P down 0.8%, NASDAQ off 0.5%. Over in the East, it's all red as well. Sydney down a tenth, Tokyo down 0.4%, Hong Kong off 2.1%, and Tencent down 0.9%. Commodities, also all red. Gold, $2,430 an ounce. Brent, $84.71. Platinum, $9.79. Palladium, $9.26. The Rand is 18.28. Bitcoin, 64,000. An opening call for the top 40. Red open, 290 points or 0.4% to the down.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now, Alex Dace from Thimble Wealth. Alex, appreciate the early morning as always. As I mentioned in the intro, we had the Anglo-American, Anglo-Platinum, Kumba Iron Ore, all coming out with production updates. My sense of looking at them is that there wasn't a heck of a lot there that was a massive surprise. Did anything sort of jump out and stand out for you?
Morning, Simon. It's a bit of a mixed bag, I guess, you know. We know these companies obviously are very large and complex, and you see that with all the different headwinds or gains they've made in the different divisions, geographically as well as within commodities. Now, let's perhaps start with Anglo American, since it's the diversified miner. So, as we know, obviously we've got quite sizable copper. I think the copper production seems all according to plan. However, there's some lower grades there, but nothing really that stands out there. Copper, of course, a very important asset for the future. I think something that did stood out is diamonds. You know, of course, Anglo American wants to get rid of the Beers, but the Beers performance is poor. Even though they guided for it to be poor in previous quarter, it seems it's getting worse. And they're trying now to, I guess, preserve cash there and get rid of working capital. So I think that'll make it very difficult for them to really get value for money with the Beers. And then, unfortunately for them, in a met coal or steel making business, they did very well for a production site, but then they had a fire in one of their mines in Australia, and that mine is now closed, and that also does have an impact. So that's an unforeseen type of event. So I would say for Anglos, you know, production is to plan, or whatever, there's restructuring to come, as we know, but it's going to be complex considering all of the moving parts. Now, if you get into the pipe start of the PGM component where Amplats is in there, you can see that with an Amplats, their own mine production was actually quite poor. But within that, you know, there's different performances once again. So you get, for example, Amandelbult that did quite well, but then there's low outputs from certain mines like Botonolo and the Mogalakwena. However, they are guiding for better improvement there as well. But I think key for Amplats is their trading statement was certainly better than expected.
Yeah,
I think that's why the stock was also up. So I think that was a slight positive. People were expecting tough things, and they did sell a lot of the inventory, which means that they actually had better sales volumes compared to production, and as a result, better results. So I was quite content with that one. And then Kumba, production is up on a half-year basis, but, you know, down on a year-on-year basis. But I think it's planned reduction. As because of the logistical challenges we all know they've got at Transnet, right? So Sishen also got two main mines at Kumba. So Sishen, the big one, has done relatively well, and then Kolomela has done relatively worse. And then I also mentioned other issues they had with weather, for example, that's for Donald Bay, etc. So as you can see, there are many, many moving parts, some good, some bad. But I think on a net basis, the Kumo one was slightly disappointing from production as well as earnings number. Amplats was, I think, slightly better. And perhaps Anglo American was a more of a neutral outcome with some caution on the beers as well as the steelmaking component, which is needed to unlock value going forward. So, yeah, mixed bag, I would say.
A mixed bag, I take your point. And I mean, complex businesses, particularly Anglo, which brings us to ultimately to their restructuring plan. And that really, I suspect, is the big story around Anglo and is going to be for a while. The plan to ultimately exit De Beers and Anglo Platinum completely and really restructure the group to be an iron ore copper focus.
Yeah, we're not, to be honest, not too convinced on the restructuring plan. You know, especially when your assets are not performing well, right? I mean, why did they not look to unlock value in PGMs when PGMs was shooting the lights out? Of course, everyone knows these companies are cyclical. Yes, you can't time the peaks and troughs, but when you are milking it, it's probably the time to look to get rid of it. Now, you know, we could be in a prolonged downward cycle in PGMs, we don't know. That makes it difficult to unlock value there. And also with the beers. The beers is really struggling. So can they really unlock value? I'm not too sure. I think the share price also tells you that since the Billiton deal hasn't gone through, it's been going downwards. And I think a lot of fund managers are concerned about the execution of that strategy. But time will tell. It's complex, as you say. There's a lot of loopholes they need to overcome and headwinds, I guess, also to overcome.
Yeah, and as you say that, Alex, I'm reminded they were going to get rid of Kumba at one point at the bottom of the market. Then iron ore rallied, and suddenly they were like, oh, no, we quite like iron ore. I take your point. There's better times, perhaps, to get rid of Anglo Platinum. This is not it. We will leave it there. That's Alex Dace from Mthombo Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. How do you rate the numbers? It was a mixed bag. There was some good. There was some bad. I suppose what we could say is it wasn't a horror show in its entirety, although there were some horrors there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
When you stay invested over time in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money's in for some smooth sailing. With our global partners, JP Morgan Asset Management at the helm, your money can withstand the pressure and bad weather day-to-day market conditions cause. All aboard? Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Meryl Peck, Old Mutual Investment Group, Head of Equity Research. Meryl, appreciate the time today. You put out a recent note talking around megatrends, and the obvious megatrend in the world right now is artificial intelligence. And we think of that, we think of OpenAI, we think of Anthropic, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and we don't think of the JSE at all. But in this, you talk around some actually benefits to the JSE, and perhaps the easy one is Tencent, which of course is Process and NASPAS. They aren't yet in AI, as I understand, but they must be looking at ChatGPT type products in their future.
Yes, Simon, you know, the fascinating thing, I think the American companies certainly are catching headlines, but actually the UN recently published a report where they actually stated that from 2014 to 2023, China filed 6 times more generative AI-related patents than the US. And this report was released in July. Of the top 10 patent applicants, Tencent is the largest. Obviously, we can access that through NASPERS. And the second largest is Ping An Insurance, of which, you know, Discovery has a link to a subset of that business. So I think what has caught the imagination of the world is ChatGPT specifically, and a natural language chatbot such as ChatGPT, where arguably the Chinese companies have lagged. But Chinese being Chinese, they are, as I've demonstrated many times before, they can run quite hard to catch up. And in May 2024, we've seen Tencent launch Yuan Bao, their sort of answer to ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So the Chinese tech companies have been active in the space. We know from the precedent set with social media that American companies do not succeed and almost barred from really operating in China. So the Chinese companies have quite a protected market to replicate the same technology, and this is what they're doing. Yet Tencent trades on a historic PE of 24 versus Microsoft at 38, Nvidia at 69, and Meta and Google at 27 and 28. So we certainly, as South Africans, do have access to this trend via China at a discounted price.
I'd like your point there around the valuation, because the Chinese tech stocks are cheap on almost any metric, and certainly compared to their American peers are very, very cheap. And we kind of, as an investment world, and I'm going to excuse yourself from that. Let me say, I kind of rather, I don't know, moved on from Tencent and thought they were a bit of a has-been. I mean, they were big in gaming, then we had the crackdowns and there's been all the restructuring. But truthfully, you know, I would call them a sleeping giant. And the operative word there is giant. They are humongous, and particularly in gaming, and there's a perfect fit there with generative AI.
Certainly. And let me put it to you this way. Would you rather own ShopRite, great company, mm-hmm. but small market, selling, you know, groceries at 24, 25 multiple, or would you own China's largest tech company?
Yeah, now I hear you. In one of the fastest growing economies, second largest economy in the world, and to your point, sort of protected from competition from the Americas. The other way, of course, to play this is via resources, because, and here we're talking, you know, the stuff we dig out of the ground, because there is the need for, the obvious one is copper. We saw BHP going after Anglo American, which really was a copper story. And if we keep on seeing these data centers and these, you know, incredible NVIDIA chips, etc., being produced, commodities are going to get in huge demand.
Mm-hmm. Turns out that clouds are supported by rocks. So, yeah, you know, I think there is so much happening in the virtual world, but at the end of the day, there is a connection back to the real physical world. So Goldman Sachs put out a report, I think in May, mm-hmm. where they are estimating by 2030, data center power, this is now in the U.S., will grow by 160%. So within 6 years, that's almost a tripling, if my maths is right. And in 2023, Google alone saw their electricity consumption from data centers go up 17%, 17. So in order to meet this, it would seem, the potentially surging electricity requirements that AI would generate, that's going to come with good old copper and the like, whatever it requires to build out these grids. So there is a link back to, once again, the JSE talking valuations. Would you rather get NVIDIA at 69 or Glencore at 17? A historic multiple.
Absolutely. And at least when you're a poking shop right, I hold it. I don't hold Glencore, so I feel less bad there. Is Glencore the pick there? Because, of course, I mentioned that. I mean, you know, BHP wanted Anglo. Mm. It was just easier to buy copper than it was to start a new copper mine. Is it Anglo? Is it Glencore? There's some juniors, but they're very small and very startup.
All the large cap diversified miners that JSE investors have exposure to have some copper. The new Anglo, once it is complete with the restructuring, you know, assuming that it does not attract another takeout bid, will consist of almost 50% EBITDA from copper. It's going to look quite similar to the likes of Antofagasta and other London-listed copper pure plays. So I think all three of them will give you copper exposure. It'll depend, you know, on valuation. I think this simplification story now carries some execution risk for Anglo American, but it is potentially very interesting. If it starts to attract multiples that the copper pure plays are attracting, then it's undervalued as we speak.
Yeah, the complexity there is the Anglo Platinum unbundling. De Beers perhaps a little easier.
Yes, but there's certainly a roadmap to execute and, you know, sell off De Beers, unbundle. So not without execution risk, but there's embedded value there in the copper assets.
Yeah. And then the last one you wrote about was good old-fashioned gold, having its day in the sun, trading at all-time highs, an asset that sort of post the peak in the 80s went down for 20 years, slowly edging higher. But suddenly we live in a different world. We live in a world where inflation is not going back to the crazy zeros. We're not going to see zero interest rates barring another crisis. And gold has its place in the sun. And I exchange has less gold miners than it did back in the day, but it still has some quality gold miners.
Absolutely. It has diversified, two globally diversified gold miners. Mm-hmm. And Harmony Gold still a very much a South African producer, but with a copper project on the near to medium term horizon, let's say the 3-year horizon. So they've always had the big WAFI goal, we will develop this one day. But there's something now in their EVA project in Australia that is going to be far less expensive to build than WAFI Gold Pool. So a gold play with also potential some access to this copper trend. And yes, I mean, we now live in a world where not only is Russia still at war with Ukraine, but South Africa's elections are making some of the European and certainly the US elections look tame. Mm-hmm. We've had a political presidential candidate get shot. When last have we seen that? So the geopolitical tensions, the shift away from deglobalization, increase in trade tariffs, all of this, we believe, is inflationary. Structural inflation is coming and here to stay. And gold has proven over time to be a good hedge for that.
Yeah, and is proving as we speak. And of course, the central banks have been buying for the first time in a very, very long time as well. We'll leave it there. Meryl Peck, Ord Mutual Investment Group, Head of Equity Research, really appreciate the insights.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So bonds, they same but different to equities, right? And the key thing is, I mean, with bonds, it is price up and yield down. Now, we're talking the secondary market here. The primary market is if you go and buy a RSA retail savings bond from the government, you put in your 1,000 rand, they will give you your interest every 6 months, and at the end of the period, they will give you your 1,000 rand back. Primary market, sort of no intricacies, no complexities. But the secondary market, which is where mostly bonds are being traded, it is different. So price up, yield down. And here's an example. You got a 1,000 rand bond, and it's a 10% yield. So it pays you 100 rand per year. But then there's fears of default. Whoever the issuer of the bond is suddenly worries that they're going to default and they're not going to be able to pay the interest perhaps, or maybe they can't even return the capital. So the market starts to sell that bond and it drops down to 800 Rand in trading value. But that 10% yield is a contracted. They still pay the 100 Rand. The yield is not 10% on the value, it's the 10% on the issue value. So they're still paying that 100 Rand a year. Nice and simple, assuming they haven't defaulted. But now you buy the bond at 800 Rand. So your yield is now 12.5%. In other words, the price has gone down and the yield has gone up. Inversely, same bond, but let's say it's the South African government bond and suddenly there's a GNU and all coalitions and everything. And so everyone wants to get themselves a slice of our bonds and that demand pushes price up. It was the same bond. It was a 1,000 Rand bond. It was paying a 10% yield, which is 100 Rand a year. But that demand pushes it to 1,250 Rand. Still pays the 100 Rand, but your yield is now effectively the 100 Rand on 1,250 is 8%. In other words, price up, yield down. What we're probably going to be seeing as interest rates start coming down, and let's be clear, there's no direct relationship between central bank rates and the yields on government issued bonds, but certainly if we are expecting some of the yields to start coming down, that means price up, which means you might not quite get the yield on that bond ETF or fund that you've bought, but you should get some capital appreciation. That's it for today. We were chatting with Sipisekele Zwani from Alan Gray yesterday, the investment case for Disney. We also chatted around the succession for Bob Iger. They totally messed it up the first time and he had to come back and now he's off again in 2 years. We asked if Disney was a good investment. Around half of you said, no, it is old school. A third said, yep, great brands. The rest said, no, you are worried about that succession and can they get it right this time? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we'll chat again Monday. The Tsar under higher U.S. inflation.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.